The day of reckoning is come, brothers and sisters. The wicked among us shall be devoured.
More glass shattered, and it sounded as though a bottle rolled across the dais. A woman's scream rang out. A skeleton chorus cried, Amen.
We stand ready to be cleansed, O Lord. Let flow the flood, throw wide the gates of hell, and let loose the beasts of prey.
And then there was an explosion which caused the pickup speakers to rattle, and people were screaming over the airwaves. Static rose up like flames, filling the cab with noise, and Savannah Aldis looked to her husband. Roger only shook his head. Never know what's gonna go the distance, do you? He said. She twisted the knobless tuner with the vice grips, renewing her search for a weather report, and said nothing. There wasn't much to say. They'd gotten out of town because they were contentedly poor people, and when there were riots, such as those following the Harper verdict, it was the contented poor who always paid first. That was part of the reason, anyway. But they were also going to see Savannah's mother in Spokane, a four-hour drive Roger had hoped to enjoy very much. They'd notified their employers, a nursing home and a mall security agency, respectively, that their house had been mistaken for a pawn shop and put to the flaming torch of protest, and that they would be indisposed for an undetermined length of time. Like everyone else, they'd used the occasion to do something they'd wanted to do for a long time. Roger stared out of his open window, yawning, not because the panorama rushing past was devoid of any interest. Actually, it was quite refreshing after the flames and chaos of riot-torn Seattle. But it was all the same after crossing the Columbia River. Mile after mile after mile of channeled scablands and various basalt formations. What had Savannah called it? The Lost Bonanza Backdrop. The sight would have put him to sleep at the wheel if not for the strange behavior of the weather. The weather. Since leaving Seattle, he'd spurred the Toyota 4x4 through a mild rainstorm, a brief flurry of snow, a stretch of sunny nirvana, a burst of hailstones, another rainstorm, and now the sun was back again, and the sky was clear. He wasn't sure what the hell to make of it. Savannah gave up on the radio, detaching the vice grips and tossing them onto the dash. They were a handy tool, those vice grips. In addition to working the radio, they could be used to yank the long-stripped key from the ignition or to roll the knobless driver's side window up and down. Nothing, she said. Roger tilted the can of Pepsi against his lips and emptied it, his dark hair dancing in the jet stream. No biggie, honey, he said, and added jokingly, the president lost his patience and had Seattle nuked, that's all. She switched off the radio.
Poor selection anyway.
He laughed and squeezed the pop can.
Bombs away?
Savannah asked. Quite. She lifted the throw pillow away from the floor, and Roger glanced down at the asphalt rushing past below. He reached behind the stick shift and dropped the can through the hole. It hit the blurred pavement with a tinny clatter and was gone behind them.
You do know littering is a $1,000 offense in Washington, she said.
You ought to write me in for governor, he said. Somebody's got to pick it up. Hell, I just created a job. Savannah slid the pillow beneath her bare feet.
And I'm very proud of you, sweetie.
He kissed at the air between them twice, and she returned the gesture. It was their own little thing. He grinned at her, then grasped the wheel with both hands and returned his attention to the landscape rushing past. They were passing a stretch of tall grass and gently rolling hills, like green dunes. He listened as the radials droned endlessly against the asphalt, and several moments passed in silence.
What on earth? Savannah nearly whispered. Honey?
He nodded absently. He was drumming his fingers on the outside of his door contentedly.
Roger!
Savannah cried, and he jerked his head forward in time to see a pale blur vanish beneath the water-beaded hood.